Not long after he arrived, and very soon after his clothing was stolen, the news went around that sex store was going to open on the island. The male missionaries were very quick to blame the new man, and it soon became clear why the journal author had wanted him to come. He was being set up as a scapegoat. He had had nothing to do with the sex store, but the sudden speed with which it was ready to open made it very clear that people had been waiting for a long while, needing a scapegoat, and now it was happening. The man himself didn't mind, because it was important for the girls to have a sex store, and he was exceptionally happy when he found the way the sex store wanted to do business, the way they wanted to create an atmosphere of fun centered around the store. He soon heard the delightful news that they would be putting out a weekly magazine as well, focusing on dating, relationships, and, of course, sex. The sex store was allowed to function, because it was a legitimate business, but the missionaries would normally have been able to prevent it, without some corrupt forces working in its favor. The magazine was only allowed on the grounds it was not pornographic, but it was soon announced that there would be nude pictures of girls on the island, if they agreed to have their photos taken, and it was already the main talking point amongst the fillies, whether they would do it, and how they would get away with it, because they all wanted to appear in the magazine. The sex store was able to argue that because there was only one pictorial feature per week, that the magazine itself was not pornographic, even if it had some pornographic content, because it was not substantially pornographic. The wonderful, open secret was that everyone knew the real purpose was to expose the fillies naked, for their own pleasure as much as for the men, because it was known that they desired to advertise their breasts to men, to show how sexually appealing they were. And the rest of the sex store magazine was either going to be a very mischievous discussion of sex, or meaningless advertising. The female missionaries were shocked at what had happened, but the ruling was made very quickly, that there could be one major pictorial per week, and it could occupy up to a third of the magazine. They were cautious for the first week, because they were under pressure, and a lot of criticism, so there was very little sex and no pictorial, but very soon, the pictorials began, and the girls began showing, first their breasts, and then their asses in the magazine. The man had still not seen the girl he had spied that day, and he was convinced that none of the girls had breasts that big or that lovely. Still, they were wonderful to look at, and he loved peeping at them in chastity class, after they had appeared in the magazine, watching them getting told off, watching them getting scolded, watching their resentful pride, and seeing them, usually, break down in tears after a while, teardrops falling on their lovely breasts and wetting their shirts. They looked guilty for a while, but they were quick to rebel again in different ways, and the usual form of rebellion was to take their pants down as much as possible in front of the men, in the hope of enticing them to look, so the girls could show their chastity tutors what their own menfolk were like. If the girls let their pants down, they could get in trouble, but if men were watching, the female missionaries had to just look away, because it was too obvious what was happening. They couldn't admit it, but they knew it had started, and now the sex store had opened, they were quickly able to see how far the problem had already spread. It was fortunate that all the chastity tutors were female, because the men enjoyed any opportunity to look at the girls' bottoms. At first it seemed like about half of the men were willing to look, but then the man looked around, and he saw that it was more than half. It was just that some of them were more subtle. In particular, when he was looking, they acted better, but if they didn't see him, most of them were looking at the girls' bottoms. They tried to be discreet, but in the long run, they gave themselves away. The female missionaries were so concerned, especially about the sex store, and this terrible man in the loincloth, that they started discussing the idea of curfews for the girls. It started when they noticed that the man was particularly interested in the girls' bottoms, and had shown a particular liking for the D-cup girls, and had tried to engage them in conversation. It was clear that the girls were generally willing to talk, but it was difficult, because his loincloth showed his penis, and it was always erect, and there was usually a trickle of jizzle on it, especially when talking to the D-cups. Although the girls wanted to be friendly, they couldn't quite accept his claim that his clothing had been stolen, and the jizzle was always awkward. It was a shame, because most of them had looked at his penis with curiosity, although the D-cups perhaps were slightly indifferent, because they were getting so much attention from the men, but nevertheless, the signs of curiosity were there, and he had overheard a few of them, when he spied on them, talking, although very casually, about how it was their bottom that could make his penis jizz. It led to competition among the girls, even though they couldn't talk to him very easily, and even though the D-cups almost took it for granted that they had his attention, they were pleased to make his penis jizz, and even more pleased when they talked about it with their girlfriends, and found their friends were impressed. It led to a lot of sexual laughter, and pleasing, light conversation, and whenever a conversation started with a talk about his penis jizzling for a D-cup girl, the rest of the conversation frequently turned to things like posing nude for the sex store, and a number of those conversations ended in resolutions between the girls that they would go and do it, and although they often lost their nerve, eventually, most of them gave in. The result was a lot of group pictorials that filled many pages of the sex store magazine, and they could always make the magazine bigger so that the pictorial was never more than a third of the magazine. The girls were never allowed to be completely nude, but that meant, because of the interpretation that the sex store was allowed to use, that a girl only had to wear a ribbon around her waist, not even her breasts, and she was considered clothed. Even if she was only covered by the seat she was sitting on, and if most of her ass was showing, the seat was interpreted as clothing, so long as it covered at least a small portion of the buttocks. Even if the pictorials were not officially nude, the sex store started referring to pictorials that featured almost bare bottoms, and completely bare breasts, as nude pictorials, and only put a very small note in the fine print that these pictorials were only almost nude, and the absence of complete nudity meant that it was acceptable, and the girls were practicing chastity combined with beauty. The constant claim of chastity combined with beauty was always the sex store's defense, always their excuse for presenting girls' asses naked, their breasts hanging out, looking lovely and large. There was very little real chastity, and the girls were doing badly in chastity class, sometimes giving very wrong answers to simple questions, like asking them, when is it appropriate to show your bottom to a man, and the preferred answer was either never or when you are married. The girls would sometimes answer, if a man has been looking for a long time, then it should be okay, because then he might go away, because you've given him what he needs. These sorts of things taught the female missionaries the need to look after the girls, and keep watch on that man. However, since he clearly had a preference for the D-cup girls, someone jokingly suggested that it should be only the D-cup girls who were required to be watched, and then someone else suggested that they hadn't measured the girls' breasts, so they didn't know who the D-cups exactly were. Very soon, the sex store started offering to measure precisely, and the girls became both excited and nervous, and talked about nothing else, until it was clear to the missionaries that they might have to let it happen. At this point, the strictest female missionary was taking a trip to a neighboring island, to try and help get support to get rid of the sex store, and very soon, on the island, the missionaries started losing a lot of their grip on the girls. The girls assumed they were going to be allowed to have this competition which measured their breasts, and it had quickly escalated, with promptings from the sex store and some of the male missionaries, into much, much more, and it would involve the girls being nude, and involve people measuring their breasts thoroughly, testing them for symmetry and firmness, and thoroughly inspecting their buttocks. The sex store had the right equipment, and the exact measurement criteria, to measure and rate the girls' breasts for attractiveness, and their bottoms, and their complexion, and as a result they were in a position to decide who could do the testing. It became clear to the female missionaries that they couldn't stop this from happening, and couldn't stop the sex store from selecting which men were allowed to measure the girls, and touch their beautiful bodies. The only thing they could do was to insist that it happened in the chastity classroom, in the hope that the girls would be reminded of their lessons, and not seek to arouse the men with their breasts or their bottoms, but the attitude of the girls, and the conversation in the week leading up to the competition, suggested there wasn't the slightest risk of the girls remembering their chastity lessons. The man was shocked, right in the stronghold of the missionaries, there was going to be a nude beauty pageant. It started out just as measurement, but the girls began to see it as a beauty pageant, and nothing else. It had all started because someone had suggested they needed to keep an eye on the D-cups, and someone else had said they didn't know exactly who the D-cups were, and others realized they wanted to know very badly. They rounded up all the girls, and the first thing they did was to measure the girls' breasts with their shirts down. The man was looking through his peepholes, amazed at their beauty. He still hadn't seen the girl he had spied that day, and he wondered where she was. He had heard that one or two of the girls, including one D-cup, were having private chastity lessons, and he wondered if she was one of those girls. He couldn't bear the thought, because private chastity lessons meant she was really keen on chastity, and he thought he had seen proof that day that she wasn't. The missionaries, both male and female, were allowed to measure the girls' breasts, and the men took great delight in it. The sex store chose the men by drawing names out of a hat, but it looked as though it might have been rigged, because the men who were chosen, especially for the final stages of judging, were also the ones who had been accused of helping set up the sex store secretly, and sabotaging the clothing orders. The C-cups were separated from the D-cups, and each girl's measurements were recorded, and then the D-cups had the curvature of their bottoms measured with calipers. Out of the girls who passed the stringent tests, they selected 14 of the most physically beautiful, the prettiest, youngest and firmest, the most obviously sexually desirable, and took them into the adjoining room, next to the chastity classroom, for the final stage. They had just selected 14 girls based on what they saw as their attractiveness to him, and they had chosen correctly. In the weeks leading up to the competition, the sex store had started mentioning bottom sex, delicately at first, but in the last week, much more openly, and it was openly stated that the man in the loincloth showed all the classic signs of having a desire for bottom sex, and it was clear to him that the missionaries had chosen 14 of the ripest and most nubile girls based on their desirability for him to have bottom sex with. He didn't see every girl clearly, but they seemed to be choosing exceptionally well. He went and looked through one of his other peepholes at the other room, where the girls were now starting to line up, and he gazed upon their incredible beauty. For a moment, he caught a glimpse of one rather special pair of breasts, through a tangle of other girls' arms, and, even through the see-through shirt, they were so good to look at that his penis felt a burst of electricity all through, like the time when he had looked at that girl, when she was nude. He wondered if it was the same girl, but she was lining up too far away, and there were a few girls at the end who he couldn't see. The missionaries told the girls to take off their tops, and then their bottoms, and to face the wall. Only 6 men had been allowed into this part of the judging, and they were looking at the girls hungrily, knowing they were now able to measure their breasts precisely, and their asses as well, and they would be touching them in all sorts of ways. The female missionaries had wanted to be the only ones to touch the girls, but the sex store protested that it was inappropriate, and convinced the girls that it was natural for men to do the judging and the measuring, and soon they taught the girls to expect that men would be measuring them, and when the girls began to look forward to the reaction of the men from touching their bodies, the sex store encouraged them further, and they began to see it as simply an entitlement. They began protesting so hard, because they wanted to see the reaction from the men, but also to get back at the female missionaries for criticizing them and for being too strict, and also because they wanted the sex store to make trouble for the missionaries. Consequently, they really turned on a show for the men. They were very nervous about taking their pants down, but they knew it was coming, and they were prepared to accept it. They took off their shirts and pants slowly, nervous at first, but starting to laugh with excitement, and playfully touch each other's breasts, and congratulate each other on their great bodies, openly and affectionately praising each other's solid tits until the man felt his penis bursting with desire. The judging began, and the men took each step slowly and carefully, telling the girls it was to give each girl a fair chance, and to make sure it was done properly, but the girls smiled knowingly, laughing to each other at the excuses men were giving them for looking at their breasts, and touching them needlessly as they put measuring tapes around them, calipers, and pop sticks to test them for firmness, always taking much longer than needed, always taking exquisite care, and touching their breasts all over, even when it was a simple matter to adjust a tape measure. Some of the men were getting hopeful, and finding ways to caress the girls' breasts as they measured them, but the girls looked a little nervous, and the female missionaries scowled, and they had to stop touching their breasts that way. It was clear to everyone that they had moved beyond measuring the breasts, and were attempting to enjoy some light petting, and the girls were initially a little bit taken aback, but when it stopped, they looked at each other and laughed, lightheartedly, clearly enjoying the attention. But the main thing they wanted was to win, and so when a girl got a good rating, she laughed excitedly, and loudly repeated her score. Because the girl's breasts were very large, and because they had been selected as the most beautiful, the scores were very high, and the girls were very pleased. There was one girl who was third from the far end, who he couldn't see properly. Her name was Palua, and she was doing very well indeed. She had built up an unassailable lead, and she was literally dancing for joy, and her friends and the missionaries were trying to calm her down. With every measurement, she increased her lead, and she was so excited, the female missionaries were talking about pulling her out of the competition, because she had already won. But she got angry and threw a tantrum, and it was clear they would have to let her participate. The man found out, from what the female missionaries were saying, that she had been taking private chastity lessons, and she was normally considered chaste, but the competition was obviously having a very big effect on her. He caught occasional glimpses of her hair and her breasts, but when he caught just one glimpse of her ass, naked, his penis released a spurt of jizz at the wall. He felt sure it was the same girl he had seen, but he wouldn't know until he saw her bottom up close. When the competition was over, the girls got dressed again and went back into the main classroom to hear the results announced. As the girls walked past, the man saw her at last. He wasn't sure if it was her face, but it looked right, and her shapely breasts looked the same. As she walked past him, he saw she had her pants halfway down at the back, exposing her ass. They had been told to get dressed properly, but the competition was clearly too much for his girl. As he saw her ass, he gasped in admiration, and she seemed to hear, because she looked around nervously. He was sure it was the girl he had seen, but he couldn't confirm until he saw the beauty spot, and it was below the level of her pants, near the base of her bottom, so he would need to see her ass naked. One of the female missionaries instructed her severely, "Palua, put your pants up now, young lady." At last, he had confirmed this was Palua, and it was almost certainly the girl he had seen. She reluctantly pulled her pants up, not quite all the way, and the female missionary scowled, but she let it go. Soon after that, beautiful Palua agreed to join her friends in chastity class. She had formed a close bond with some of the other D-cup girls in the competition, and she didn't want to be separated from them, so she stopped taking private chastity lessons. The man heard there were arguments at home, because her parents were upset with her, but she was determined, and there was nothing they could do, because all her friends were in the general chastity lessons. It was a shame though, because they had been very proud of her for a while. Because Palu had won the competition, and because the competition was originally about finding the best looking girls to keep a close eye on, the missionaries were very careful to watch her, and make it as hard as possible for him to look at her breasts, but they couldn't watch all the time, and he found out where she lived, and was able to follow her around a lot. She seemed to accept being looked at, but unlike the other girls, he never heard her talking about the way she made his penis jizz, and she seemed more modest in the way she talked. Even though her conversation was frivolous and fun, it was less often about sex.